This is Alicia Ruvrall of the Southern Oral History Program. Today's date is May 24, 1999, and I'll be interviewing Jose Armando Carballal of Durham, North Carolina, a native of Honduras. And this interview is for the New Immigrants Project, which is part of Listening for a Change. And this is my tape number 52499AC.1. We're conducting the interview at the NCOSH office on Guest Road in Durham.
Okay, I might actually move over this away so that the tape can, the microphone can pick up a little better.
Okay.
My voice too. Okay, great. So, maybe you could start with when and where you were born in Honduras, and a little bit about growing up there and your experiences there before coming here.
Yeah, okay. I was born in 1957 in Choluteca. It's in the south of my country. And I grew up there until 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I am a migrant in my country because I go from the south to the north of my country to get, because my dream is to go to the college, mm-hmm. to get a degree.
Uh-huh.
This is my dream, and I move because the region of the south of my country is poor, more poor than, and the north we have a lot of industry, agribusiness, something like that. All this we have, banana companies.
Uh-huh.
I was still right now they employ a lot of people and they pay better to another company.
Uh-huh.
But that does not mean, because they're a huge struggle. The workers.
What was that?
The huge
struggle.
Yeah, struggle
for the workers to get
to get this, because
yeah.
About 1954,
uh-huh.
we have a very 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 big. We was not having nothing to regulate the relation between workers
uh-huh.
and employers,
uh-huh.
and this in 1954, they make a huge strike.
Mm-hmm.
They stop their country,
mm-hmm.
and that's the reason we get one mm-hmm. the laws to
mm-hmm.
regulate the religion, and they get the right to organize union.
Mm-hmm. Was that connected to like the banana? Was it United Fruit?
Fruit Company.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tela Railroad Company, that's uh-huh. what they call right now.
Yeah. Huh. So that would have happened right when you were, just a few years before you were born.
Yes.
That pretty major transformation had just taken
yeah.
place. Yeah.
And I think it's in 1976, when I was about 18
uh-huh.
years,
uh-huh.
and go, because my brother, I have two brothers, they live in the north,
uh-huh.
and I come in this, I can find the job, and I can go to the college by the night.
Uh-huh.
That was only the dream.
Uh-huh.
I never get the chance to go to the college.
Uh-huh.
And I start 1 year, but the job is unstable, and
uh-huh.
any reason I lose the job, or because they hire me by the contract per 3 months, for 6 months, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And the season finished day.
Uh-huh.
I had to leave the job. I don't have a...
Uh-huh.
And the problem too, because it's, I had to go to the private college,
uh-huh.
and I had to pay a lot
uh-huh.
of money.
Wow.
And I can't.
Now, was your family? What was your family's background and history there in the southern part of Honduras?
Oh well, it's my parents. They are still very small farmers.
Mm-hmm. small farming.
Family. Yeah, yes. Yeah. To survive. Yeah, they have the part of the land, some cows, or we plant corn, cane, something like that.
Did they own their own land there?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, it's still, it's not exactly, they have the land, but...
they have access to land.
Yeah.
To grow. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And this is how they do it the whole life, because
that's how you
from generation.
Yeah. How many siblings in your family, brothers and sisters?
We are, how many we are?
How many brothers and sisters did you grow up?
We are nine.
Nine.
Five brothers and four sisters.
And where were you? Older?
In the middle.
Younger? In the middle.
In the middle,
Now, did many of your brothers and sisters have a dream to get education, or were you unusual?
Some have a dream to get education, but I have three of my brothers, one sister and two brothers, they get media education, like accounting or something like that. A teacher. One of my sisters, she's a teacher.
So you grew up, how large the town that you grew up in, how large?
I'm very small.
Yeah.
Very, very small. Yeah. Actually, it's still very small town. It's a, beach or fishing.
A fishing village?
Yeah. We cultivate the land, but when we have a chance, we go to fishing too.
So you did. So your family did both farming and fishing.
Yeah, but exactly, we not try to survive by the fishing, just to get something for the to use in the home.
Yeah, so sort of to kind of add to the income or the food.
And there's very, very small, but still now it look beautiful in my town.
Are we talking several thousand people?
Not
even that much, hundreds?
No.
Yeah, so really a village.
Think it's a thousand, something like that.
Okay.
It's a
mosque. Yeah, pretty small. Yeah, great. You went to school there in the village, did you?
Yeah. Actually, it's a really hard to go to school because I had to walk about 2 miles in the morning, go to the, and I had to come back for lunch.
Yeah.
And the weather is very, very hot. I was remember when I was very child, I had to come back to take a lunch at my home. But I just finished and go back because the class had to begin. We finished with at 12, and 1 o'clock had to begin again the class. And at some time we have, because we don't have a very good house, very good roads, road to the transportation, something like that. When there's when the falls, rains begin, and we get several problem, maybe the waters is coming and destroy the road. Sometimes the teachers, months and months, they not coming to provide the class because they don't have they can't come to the town. And sometimes 3 months, 4 months, we lose the years.
So school was maybe a little sporadic. And it sounds like you were working. What were you doing for work at that point? You were working while you were in school too?
Actually.
With your family?
In the home. Yeah, we going to plant to take care of the plant, corn, or wherever, rice, or whatever we have in the home.
Yeah.
And I take care to the cows too.
So kind of chores, family, the work on the farm. So then how old were you when you were 18 or 19 when you
18?
Decided? Yeah.
Yes, I moved today.
And you had two brothers there already?
Yeah.
How did your family feel about you making that leap, that departure?
Well, yes, there's because my there's two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They are older brother, no,
mm-hmm.
And I am in the middle. I'm the first. After the day, this brother moved from the home. And actually, right now I have my brother and another sister.
Mm-hmm.
They are still in the home with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very young when I moved.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. some siblings stayed.
Yeah.
To care for them and the farm and all of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And some left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because my father now is very old. He can't work more on the land, but he's still doing because by the customer. That's they really love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not only for this to get food or something like that, because they really like.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that they like you're talking about your brothers really liking the farming? Or I'm not sure I caught you on that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Is that right?
So mostly my brother, yeah.
So they're staying in part because that's also the way of life they
yeah.
want. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, got you. Okay, great. So then you were trying to study in college, and you were working at the same time.
Yeah, in the factory. Anyway,
factory.
I get
what kind of factory was that?
First job I get in the factory is the plant processing, banana processing.
So it was banana
processing. We make a slice,
uh-huh,
honeys,
uh-huh.
all this. For
uh-huh.
the exportation to,
uh-huh.
to here, to this country or another country.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But they use this system to hire temporary people
uh-huh.
because they don't want to, they try to the,
uh-huh.
destroy the union. They don't want to, if
uh-huh.
they get permanent, these people have to be a permanent, they become
uh-huh.
union member.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So then if by 1954 the unionizing was made legal, what was going on then when you were working in the factory? Do you remember? I mean,
no,
you,
I don't get to be a member.
Yeah.
Actually, that's, I have the incentive because I like, well, I remember when I read
yeah.
about, because in the 54,
yeah.
I burned in the 57.
Yeah, so right, of course. So it would have been many years later.
Yeah.
The organizing.
I hear and
yeah.
I read something about the history.
Yeah.
Actually, we,
yeah.
we have. In my country, we have a the book, small book, novella, small book,
uh-huh.
relating to the movement.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
part of the
yeah.
the this history
yeah.
is a
right.
fiction, but a part is true.
Right.
Related to the movement.
Right.
I was remember when I read
yeah.
actually,
yeah.
in a few years ago, and
yeah.
like a 60 or 70.
Mm-hmm.
The government prohibited this book.
Ah,
we can read the book, the
mm-hmm.
title of the book is
mm-hmm.
Prisión Verde. Prisión Verde, I think it's, in English it's Green Jail, something like that.
Green
Jail. It's a Prisión Verde.
Uh-huh. And was this about the labor movement?
Yeah, about the labor movement.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When, when I wrote about that, I really interested to involve
mm-hmm.
in the movement.
Yeah, and had your family been involved in the movement at all, or no?
Nah. Yes.
Where they were located, they were not.
Yeah, and then they don't have a chance.
Connected.
And this, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you would have gone 18. It would have been 70. Oh, I'm trying to add here.
And
75.
76.
76.
I come into
yeah.
the north of the country.
Yeah. Now in the 80s, I'm wondering too, how long were you in that northern part of Honduras? Was that where you were before you came up here?
Yeah, I
yeah.
stayed, I remember in the 78, I get the job as a health department of my country.
Uh-huh.
And this, because
yeah.
this is a program permanent,
right.
and they hire me, and this is a reason I got to here, because
right.
the program have a union.
Because of the
they have a union already.
They have a union already.
When they hire me,
yeah.
when I have after 90 days, so
yeah.
the period they give, after 90 days you be a permanent worker.
Uh-huh.
And
after 90 days you would be a permanent worker.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I come in to be a member of the union. This is a I begin to.
So then you became a union member when you were at the health department job,
yes.
But not when you were in the factory job.
No.
Because it sounds like even though they had made that move in 54, there were still problems with the union in the factory. Is that so? The union wasn't that well established in the factory at that point?
Well, I don't know.
We try
to clarify. Yeah. In the 1954, they have
right.
a movement.
Right.
Big strike. They stay about
right.
more than 2 months. They stop to work and all works now.
Right.
And I feel banana company,
right.
and actually some people from the city, they support
right.
this working. After this this strike, the workers, the company banana, they mm-hmm. get unionized, they mm-hmm. get the rights to organize union, mm-hmm. and the government, when the government see the situation, mm-hmm. they create the workers' code, they call.
Workers' code.
Yes.
Okay.
The,
right.
The, to regulate the relation between mm-hmm. both.
So sort of more labor relations codes and things mm-hmm. like that came into play.
Because before the 54, the company put all, they have anything,
right.
any labs they
right.
put.
Right.
And
they could do whatever.
Yeah.
yeah.
Wherever.
Yeah. And so then, what were things like there when you started
yeah.
to work in the factory? What were things like?
Oh, actually, this year in the 76, from 54, the
yeah.
company, they tried to destroy the
mm-hmm.
union,
mm-hmm.
and this is a reason because this factory is a new factory
mm-hmm.
to make another to what is it. Other products from the bananas
mm-hmm.
to exportation.
Right.
They hire people, yes, only by the temporary contract.
Right.
And there's, you are temporary, you don't have a chance to join in the union.
Right. So they're, right. Okay. I see.
Yeah.
So if they're temporary, then they couldn't have the choice to
yeah.
join the union.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, it sounds like there had been some improvements from 54 forward, but by the time you were there, still very bad because of this temporary positions, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Yeah.
So then you decided to leave that situation.
Well, yeah, I leave
yeah.
because no, it's not,
nope.
no.
Yeah.
What is, how I can say, it's not...
No opportunity.
No safe. The job. And there's
no stability.
No stability,
yeah.
right.
How was the pay? Do you remember how much you were paid an hour?
Oh, yeah.
It's
very... I was remembering this year, 75, 76, if you get maybe $3... how is it? Our money is, we call it lempira.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 3 lempiras per hour.
Which would come to how much?
And this time we have we pay 2 lempiras for $1.
Wow, so we're talking 2 lempiras.
About
80 cents an hour? 70 to 80 cents an hour? Is that right? Yeah.
I think it's about...
Which in 1975
yeah.
not a lot of money.
Yeah, it's like 80 cents or 90 cents
yeah.
per hour.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So then you moved into this health department job.
Yeah. yeah.
And what had you been studying in school, at college? What had you studied?
Yes, like, I don't get, just to,
mm-hmm.
what, how you call it? How you say in English here? After the elementary school.
Elementary school, so education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we call in Spanish basic education.
Basic education.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
But I never get
yeah. yeah.
get finished. Yeah, I try. Yeah. And the problem is when I get this job
yeah.
with the health department's government, I can't because they move from the town to another town. Maybe we stay 6 months,
okay.
3 months in one small town,
mm-hmm.
and we moved.
So you moved around with them
yeah.
to work.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
I don't have a chance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is a, and actually when in the health department program, we union movement game come and be strong, and the government, that's what they were doing to destroy the union. They canceled the program.
They constantly, what was that?
The program of the, and the part of the labor, of the health department, we're working because that's a program against the six to, yes, yellow fever or something?
Yellow fever.
Fiebre amarilla, they call in Spanish. And you would try to eradicate the the mosquito.
Right. Is it malaria? Is it malaria?
Same. Yeah. It's a little bit different. Yeah. Fiebre amarilla is different with malaria, but it's the same program.
Right.
And they canceled the program. This is a, but this is only the this is the game, because they canceled the program for a few months, and after they come in with another program, the reason they really want is no one to cancel the program. They want to cancel the union.
So they wanted to get the union out of the health department.
And this is again, I working about 3 years there. And then 81, I get the jobs in a hotel. In the series, the second series, San Pedro Sula. And there, another job with the government, I involved with the union, but when I get the jobs in the hotel, I involved very directly.
With the union?
With the union.
So how did that experience with the health department affect your union work?
Oh, yes. It's a really bad experience, because the, many of the time, it's the, actually the government, they are more, really bad employer. They because all is move about the politician.
Who was in power at that time?
And this time are army guys, they are the
So it's the
president.
Military base.
Military base, yes. Then we don't, after 82 we get first election civilian people coming to power.
But so that would have been a tumultuous time,
yeah,
I would think, leading up to that. Wow.
Yeah, but I think nothing changed when the civilians come into the power, because they are aligned with the military.
So.
And they come in. I don't know where is data. If we have the military in the power, I think, because we have more bad people.
Oh, gosh.
They are really thief. They thief.
I thought that someone in 80... Oh, I see. Was that Roberto Suavo Cordoro, who came in 1982?
82, Roberto Suazo Cordoro.
In 82, who was liberal. So it was civilian rule, but you're saying when he came in, it wasn't that much better.
Oh, yeah. Actually, we when I was in the union, because I am the part of the Central Central General de Trabajadores. It's a lot of unions coming together. And then, I think it's in 84, he was elected in 82, and he planned to stay, like a coming, like a, how we call it, illegal, to another period.
I see, to extend his own role.
Yes, and we all union, we try, we be ready, we talk all unions to be a, make a big strike in the country, because he are very tired to have a military in the power, because military, they stay whatever the time they want. And this guy, civilian, coming with the same idea. And finally, we don't make a strike, because he decided to stop with the idea. But because we make a pressure, we are ready to go to the strike and the whole country.
Wow.
Yeah.
In order to fight that.
Yeah.
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 And so you, as a union organizer, you were active in trying to help that. Wow. Boy, what an intense time.
Yeah. And this is a reason, but then... It's very, when you be a very visible activist guy, it's very dangerous. They, well, they kill some people like me, very close. I know, really.
Did you know people who were killed in the process?
Yeah. One is they killed directly, and one is they die by accident, by a suspicion accident. One is, I remember this guy, his name Hector Pavón, he, I don't know, they say they have an accident
with gas,
explosion.
I see.
But the house has totally disappeared.
Wow.
And he died. Uh-huh.
How is it to do that organizing work, having your friends experience that violence? Must have been scary.
Yeah, really scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when people see that how the injustice mm-hmm. happened, we had to take the risk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There kind of wasn't a choice. So then you would have been, maybe tell me a little bit, what would you do in a day at that point? You were working, you had left the health department job, and you were in the other position.
In the hotel.
In the hotel. And then you would be doing your union organizing, I'm assuming, after hours on
yeah.
the side.
Yeah, because the union leaders is not, if we have a lot of unions, maybe we can hire two or three guys uh-huh. in the office. But when you are a small union, just you doing your activity after your work time.
Uh-huh.
That's all the time that's uh-huh. what I do there.
So you would spend your time, so tell me a little bit, you'd go to the hotel and put in some hours there, and then afterwards, in the evening, you would do other work to do your union. Was that trying to locate people to work with you? Can you say a little bit what that was like?
And actually, it's a union, basic union that we have in a uh-huh. plant, in a hotel.
Uh-huh.
Most we try to resolve the problem with, we have a problem in a hotel.
Uh-huh.
And every day because we have a little bit different how the union functions there. You have a Sunday, two or three days, I come into the officers' union to spend the time. If the member have a complaint against the company, we try to resolve. Or you plan on set up the meeting for the whole member because the problem, the still problem you have because many of the employer they make many violations against the laws.
Right. So they would be violating things like health and safety as well as much work people were doing in a day.
Many things. Sometimes they know wages an hour they have about overtime.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah.
And they say so many times if the guy is a very good union member,
uh-huh.
they sometimes try to fire,
uh-huh.
and uh-huh. the law say in my country if the employer fire you, if they can prove any reason uh-huh. to fire you, if you lose 3 days of work in a week
uh-huh.
or a month, uh-huh. if you come in drunk
uh-huh.
in a workplace, or if you thief something from the company, just stole something from the company, they can fire. That's the lab say. But many of this time, they fire because they see us, the people, it's dangerous because they are very good members of the union.
Uh-huh.
And we had to, what happened, we had to go to the, with the, to the, we call, like a labor department.
Uh-huh.
But we have, with us, they have a lot of corruption because uh-huh. the company sometimes they pay this guy from the labor department.
So they would pay off the labor department.
And actually, what does the union have to do?
Yeah.
They had to make action.
Yeah. So take an action against the company.
Against the company.
Yeah.
Like a gun strike.
Yeah.
This is the most powerful tool the workers haven't, the union haven't,
right.
Latin American to get here from from the government or from the companies too.
Because it stops production.
Yeah.
It stops exporting.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So then, would they have known at the hotel that you were active in the union? Or did you have to be quiet about your union activity?
In the beginning.
Yeah.
In the beginning, you had to be quiet, like clandestine, if you want to make a union. Uh-huh. Because the laws of my country say if you have with 30 people signed to the petition to be a union in the plan, the labor department, they can recognize the union.
So
you don't need to be a board like here. But you know what happened? When you're going to make a union, you have to be smart and use many strategies. Maybe you present the list with the labor department with 30 people, signed with the ID number and the name and the company. When they receive this note, they write the note and send to the company.
So then the company then knows who
they had to notify. And you know what happened? The company fired all of these people. But the member is the activist union had to be smart. They can have another group of people. And this is many times at this point, this start really struggle against the company, to fight against the government, to get, they bring back these people they fire. Sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't get nothing.
Yeah.
Because they pay to.
Right, so you'd have to really persist with the company in order to get the union in.
And I said, when they recognize the union, you can, it's no problem, you can be very visible activist.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful too, because they are still watching you. They try to, we have a laws in Honduras, if you are activist union, you are protected by the laws.
You're protected by the law.
Yeah.
If you're an activist.
Yes.
Who's
your activist, they can fire.
Who's in the union?
Yeah. Activist union.
And the activist.
And the member too. But the activist union, they have a more protection.
So there was actually a union for activists. Am I hearing you right? No. You're saying that if people were, rephrase. Yeah.
Yeah, the union in my country, the board members, the union, they are activists. You understand what I say?
When you're talking activists, I'm assuming you're meaning like organizer activists.
Organizers, yes.
Okay.
That's they are protecting. They can fire you by the law. This is a law say. But many this time, they don't care. They fire.
So they will just fire people whether or not they're...
Yeah.
If someone's on a union activist, they're going to be out of there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mostly if... this is a reason the union activists had to be smart and to be very, very careful.
So when you're talking about activists' union, what do you mean by that? The group of people who are activists working for the union.
Because we have a board member unions and we have a yes member.
I see. Okay. And what was the union that you were most actively involved with?
With the General Central of Working, the Central General de Trabajadores. I was member of the federation because one is a central, one is a federation. A federation is component by a group of union. Five, ten, wherever, in the specific areas. Do you work in the federation I work, I be a member is the Federation of Food and Drinking Service.
Okay. So there were different types of unions for different types of...
Yes.
Work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And you were working mostly with those that had to do with food...
And working in a hotel and restaurant.
Okay, so that was the area that you worked most in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so did they know at the hotel that you were a union member and a union organizer?
Yeah.
And there was a union there at that hotel where you worked.
Yeah.
Were they? How was it to work at that hotel as opposed to working at the government for the health department?
Well, I think it's not much different about it.
Mm-hmm.
Only the difference because it's about the salary. Sometimes,
mm-hmm.
when you work with the government, you don't get paid for overtime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the policy that they use. It's same. Sometimes it's more easy to resolve if you have some problem with the government because you can use about politician.
You can
make a press against the how they do or because they looking for the ball too.
Yeah.
And the privates like a hotel is
right.
A little bit different. Yes, you make a pressure by the strike, by if you stop to work,
uh-huh.
they lose the money.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
But many of the states, they use their army guys coming against to the workers when they make a strike.
Uh-huh. So they bring out the military.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes they kill people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you participate in any strikes at the hotel, or were the conditions better there?
In my period, and we never get beer on the strike. But by three times we are ready to the strike.
Uh-huh.
We have a committee to the strike,
right, yeah.
But finally we get negotiate.
Uh-huh. So you did work. You had negotiations.
Yeah.
Were you involved at any point in strikes down there? I mean, beyond organizing them, or even I guess organizing them.
I'm involved with the. We make a short time,
mm-hmm.
and a protest march in the street.
Uh-huh.
It's not against
the
company I worked.
Yeah.
Not against the government. It's
more of a protest march against the government.
Yeah. Public with the
right.
with a lot of union together, not just. Our union.
I see.
Yeah.
So it's part of.
Yeah.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. So, let's see. How much was your union activity and all of that affected by, as you got into the 80s, by what was going on in El Salvador and Nicaragua? I mean, were you aware of those struggles that were?
Oh
going
yeah,
on?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I was. I remember because
when
I was working in the hotel, and I think it's in 85 when
uh-huh.
this situation in the both countries really bad.
Yeah, very bad.
This is affecting to
uh-huh.
Honduras because many people from El Salvador, from Nicaragua, are coming to the Honduras
yeah,
too.
Honduras, yeah.
And the policy of the government have, because they say, oh, that's happening in Nicaragua, that's happening in El Salvador, because the government, they are very weak. Because in Central America, this time, if you are union member, you are communist.
Right,
that's
by
a
definition.
That's a definition.
Yeah.
You are enemy.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if, maybe, or many times,
mm-hmm.
you be a union member, but some people, they don't have a,
mm-hmm.
what is, they don't have idea what I mean, communist.
Right.
And they,
right. So they may not have, you know, they might not be even radicals per se, but by definition, they're perceived.
And you are communist, and you are danger,
And
this is, I remember the name of the guy, he's a head of the
mm-hmm.
the army in Honduras. Oh, he have a slogan, say, the good communist. It's only the communists die.
It's a good communist is a dead communist. Yeah.
That's what he say. Actually, he's ooh.
Yeah.
He graduated in West Point with the honor,
uh-huh.
and they come in. But
so he was trained at West Point.
Oh,
yeah.
this time.
Yeah.
I think 80, 82, 83, 85, 87 when I come the first time here.
Yeah.
It's a really danger for the, not only for the union member, like a community organization too. If you do something, you want to make a protest, no?
Right.
It's really danger.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because they put the eyes, many, really the people just disappear.
Right.
They take and they kill.
Yeah. I've probably heard more about that in El Salvador and Nicaragua, because there was a lot of
You hear more,
about that.
Yeah. But because they have a war, and this happened in Honduras too.
Right.
Actually, sometimes in Honduras, they take him in jail.
Mm-hmm.
One of these guys are a member of the guerrilla in El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You need to hear about the La Matanza de Sumpur.
Huh.
It's a river between Honduras, I think it's in 84, between Honduras and El Salvador.
Yeah, Roque and Tepso. Between a river between
Honduras and El Salvador.
Yeah.
The people from El Salvador, they're running because the army guys, they fight against the guerrilla.
Mm-hmm.
But at the guerrilla, maybe many of these people just die. They are very humble person.
Mm-hmm.
Campesinos or
campesinos,
farm workers.
Yeah.
They are very poor. And they had to, they run, they cross the river to Honduras because they want to save their life.
Uh-huh.
And the army from Honduras, they another side, they shoot into this.
Shooting across.
To the,
yeah.
One is they get killed from the army from Honduras. And when they go back to El Salvador, they kill. So this, if you, Lawrence, she have a magazine about that.
Mm-hmm.
She know about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Witness for Peace, there's lots of different publications that have brought attention to, you know, a lot of those abuses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do think you hear more about El Salvador and Nicaragua
mm-hmm.
than you do Honduras.
Mm-hmm.
And that, or what you hear about Honduras is about, you know, the Contra coming back across to Honduras. You know, you hear about Honduras as a site for a lot of operations that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Actually, the Honduras army is still in 81,
mm-hmm.
they're still enemies with the
mm-hmm.
El Salvador army, because in 1967...
The soccer war.
Yeah, they was have a war. No?
Right.
But this... I think it's the Bush government or Reagan. They get be a friend. What is the reason? Because they this is important to this not have any problem between both governments, Honduras and El Salvador. And after they bring in 83, they open the center to the trainer in Honduras to training soldier
to train the soldiers.
Salvadorian soldier, Nicaraguan Contra. And this is real violation of the sovereignty of our country, because they not asking from the Congress to permission.
They just did it.
Not just they put
exactly.
it because the guys of the in charge of the army in charge of from Honduras. They say, okay, you bring.
So did you were you aware that those kinds of trainings were going on at that time? I'm gonna have to flip the tape here. I mean, did people generally know that was going on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Many people.
Turn it